Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have something you'd like to discuss, if you have particularly troublesome issue that you're living through every day, if you have a Bible question, can't quite understand what it means, well, we would love to speak with you about it right now, and we have an open line, so you can do that right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to read a passage out of the book of John, 1 John, the first letter of John today, and really talk about contrast. And our whole theme for this month is how do we stand out in this world as believers in Christ? And John really narrows it down to one issue, to one important issue, and that's this: what do we say about Jesus Christ? That really is the distinguishing mark of Christianity, that Jesus Christ isn't a mere moral teacher or something like that, or a prophet, as some would want to say about him. No, he is the Lord Jesus. He is the God of heaven, God of earth. He is everything. And here in John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." So there's all kinds of religious chatter that's out there, and they put forth all kinds of different philosophies, all kinds of different paradigms on how we can become better people, how we can climb the ladder of spirituality, how we can reach into the heavens. And these are false prophets. Why? Because they're giving false information to the public. And yet people buy into it. They believe those lies. But this is how you can know. And John is very clear: by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So back in those days, there were a lot of people that said Jesus was just a spiritual being, that he didn't occupy flesh and blood. Well, what does that do with the cross? Well, a spirit being isn't going to die on a cross. So it renders the cross powerless. It renders the gospel message as powerless, as empty. So we have to believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that he was actually a historical person. And then it says this is the spirit, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So we have to recognize that this Jesus is from God, that he is God's beloved Son. That's who Jesus is. He is fully God and fully man in this earth suit. Right. That is who Jesus is. And so that's the testimony that God has given out there in the world. And he's given that testimony since the beginning of time. So he's always had this story out there about his son Jesus and what his son Jesus was going to do as far as mankind is concerned. And then he came. At a certain point in time, Jesus showed up. He inhabited the body that God the Father had prepared for him. And he grew up, and he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. And then he started his ministry when he was at the age of 30 or so, and he was baptized by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist identified him as the Messiah, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he went about teaching, and in his teaching he made these preposterous claims that he was the bread of life, he was the light of the world, he was the way, the truth, and the life. He and the Father were one and are one. And so people started hearing this, and those who heard it, they started to plot against him. And at the end, when he was finally handed over to be crucified, the reason is because he, according to them, a mere man, claimed to be God, claimed to be equal with God. So those were the claims about Jesus Christ. Now, God's testimony about his son is that God sent him, that he and the Father are one. This was God's testimony concerning Jesus. Jesus' testimony agreed with that. And those of us who have received Christ and are believers in Christ, we say the same thing about Jesus. We continue to push that testimony out there in the world. Yeah. Now, there's another narrative about Jesus, and it's a lie. There are a bunch of lies out there about this man named Jesus. So what is the distinguishing mark? It is our belief that Jesus truly is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one and only Lord. That's what distinguishes us as believers. And in knowing that, we submit ourselves to his way of life. We submit ourselves to his very life. We're not submitting ourselves to the things of this world, to the ways of this world, to the so-called gods of this world. We recognize that those are nothing, that there's only one true God, and he has made himself known in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So that's the distinguishing mark. So if you really want to stand out in this culture that we live in today, really start proclaiming that Jesus is God. Yeah. And people will take notice, and they will either agree with that testimony or they're going to disagree. Those are the only two options. And you will experience some persecution for making those claims and the exclusive claims that Jesus made about himself. There's this famous quote from C.S. Lewis, and most people have probably heard it. And it goes like this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg. Now, that's a crazy guy there.
Right.
Or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to.
Yeah.
So the testimony of God concerning the Son is that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, who has come to carry out the will of the Father so that you and I can be saved. His testimony, Jesus' testimony, coincided with that. He claimed to be God in the flesh, and the testimony of the apostles was identical. They, too, claimed that Jesus came in the flesh. And for 2,000 years, people have been saying the same thing about Jesus. That's the truth. And when we recognize that, then we are on the side of truth.
Yeah.
Everything else is lie. Everything else is imitation.
Great thoughts, Bob. Thank you for that. As we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway, thank you for joining us, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. We have some calls coming in right now from Duran and Clay, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But first, the only reason that Basic Gospel is able to be here every weekday teaching the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is because our donors give to support this message that has resonated with their spirits. So, to say thanks for your support in October, we want to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's latest CD series. It's called Against the Current, and it can help you deepen your faith and your understanding of how to stand strong in the face of the pressures and patterns of this world. To make your gift, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Of course, your generous gift will help bring believers back to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And again, you can donate today or anytime at basicgospel.net, and we'll get a copy of Against the Current on the way to you. Well, that number, 844-322-2742, we have open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines now. We're going to start down in Temple, Texas, and talk with Daron. Hi, Daron.
Hey, Daron.
Hey, how y'all been doing?
We're doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I have a very, very important, interesting question about Matthew 15:24. This always has tripped me up, and I'm trying to find the truth on this. This has to do with the faith of the Canaanite woman.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of these translations says that he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the original Greek says something a little bit different. Like, say, the King James Version, it says, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So I'm trying to see, is the correct version, is he saying that he wasn't only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, or what? You understand my question?
Well, he was sent to Israel to be the culmination of their story. So he was, God the Father had given this testimony about Jesus to the people of Israel through the prophets. Moses wrote about Jesus. All the prophets wrote about Jesus. All the wisdom literature, all of that is about Jesus. And so God sent Jesus. He was the long-awaited one to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah, and he made the claim that he was the Messiah, and they rejected him. So he came to tell them that, you know, he was the guy. He was the one that God the Father had put his hands upon and said, you're it. You're the one that's going to offer yourself as the sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world once and for all. You're the one that is going to die, and in so doing, usher in the new covenant that the prophets had talked about for so many years. So, yes, he came to Israel hoping that they would be receptive to him, and then he was going to work through Israel to be a blessing to the entire world. That was the promise to Abraham, and certainly God was going to be faithful to that promise. But if you look over in John chapter 10, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd, and in verse 16 he says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." So God has always had in mind both Jew and Gentile. And we see that explained fully in Paul's writings, that he was going to take people out of the Jewish world and then people out of the Gentile world, and he was going to form one new man called the body of Christ. So God has always had in mind both Jew and Gentile. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified freely by his grace. That is both for Jew and Gentile. And when they're justified, they're added to the body of Christ, and they stand shoulder to shoulder regardless of their background.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's basically just saying the same thing.
Yes.
I thought he was saying that he didn't just come for Israel. He came for Gentiles too at that time.
Well, I think the story of the Canaanite woman is the perfect example of that.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, right, Daron.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate the question.
Thanks, Daron.
Well, let's stay down in the temple area and talk to Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Bob. I'm out on the front porch today. Sorry about I lost y'all last week. Sometimes the song doesn't work down here.
Well, we got you today.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I've got a friend of mine that he started off Hare Krishna. He's a dear friend of mine. We grew up together. And he's kind of close to Hindu now. And, you know, he believes that Muhammad, not necessarily, but if you ask him, he thinks Muhammad and Buddha both ascended, but in the spirit, okay? And what I wanted to say, you know, some translations say that any spirit that will not confess about that 1 John 4:2 will not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, so the deal is he did come in the flesh. Okay, but he's still in glorified flesh, and any spirit that won't confess that he is risen in glorified flesh, which is our hope of glory, is still the spirit of Antichrist, and it's a lie from hell, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, we have to believe that his resurrection was a physical resurrection. It wasn't a spiritual resurrection. So this was a physical happening. I mean, Jesus Christ inhabited a body of flesh and blood. He became human. He found himself in the form like us. So he tasted death for you and me. So he died just like anyone else. I mean, he died a horrific death on a Roman cross. There was great suffering, not only physically, but the fact that he had taken upon himself the sins of the world. But it was he died just like the two thieves next to him. He breathed his last, and they took the body, the physical body of Jesus, down off that cross. Joseph of Arimathea put that physical body into a tomb. And on the third day, that physical body came out, and people recognized him. They saw him in that resurrected form, that resurrection body. And that's the same type of body that you and I are going to get when that day of resurrection occurs. We have been raised spiritually, made alive spiritually. Our spirits have been born again, animated by the very Spirit of God. And that is kind of the guarantee that we're going to have new bodies at a point in time. So this is a physical thing. And it also says that we, in at the end, in Revelation 21, that a new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and it sits here on earth, and that's where we're going to dwell. That's going to be our dwelling place, and we're going to be there with God forever. And so it's a physical thing that we're going to experience in the afterlife. It's not just we're going to be going to become little spirit angels sitting on clouds.
See, it's real easy for a lot of people to accept that. They'll confess that he came in the flesh, okay, from Mary. But even Jesus himself, when he said, do this often in remembrance of me, when I do it, and he says to celebrate his resurrection. When I do it, I lay hold of the communion elements in celebration of his glorified body, his resurrected body, and that I'm going to have one just like him in his humanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Clay. And that's,
well, God bless you, man. Love you.
You too, Clay. Thanks for your question. That is a really good question. Back in the day that John wrote this letter, there were early forms of what is now known as Gnosticism. And so Gnostics believed that they were saved through special knowledge, that they had received some special knowledge from God. And anyone that saw that knowledge and bought into that knowledge could be a part of their group. And they believed that flesh was evil, and because flesh is evil, therefore Jesus could not have come in the flesh. Only spirit is good. And they believed Jesus was good, so he must have only come in the spirit. He was only a spiritual being. So in doing that, they took away the story. The story that is so important to us, the fact that Jesus died physically on a Roman cross, that he was buried physically, and that he was raised physically from the dead. That's the gospel. That's the story. That's the good news that saves us. And so they had just undercut the good news of Jesus Christ and made it all kind of a spiritual thing. Well, we don't have Gnosticism so much today in a form like it was back then, but there are many people who believe some of the things that they believed way back then, and they're still promoting it, that Jesus was just a spiritual being. And they're saying that we're going to become spiritual beings like that at some point if we keep doing good, keep climbing up the ladder, so to speak. Well, That's a lie. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And that's what we have to recognize, that Jesus did come in the flesh. Jesus is the Son of God, that he did die for our sins. He was raised physically. He ascended physically and has taken his place at the right hand of God the Father. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. And when he does, we're going to see him. We're going to be raised. We're going to receive resurrection bodies, physical in nature, just like his resurrected bodies. And then we are going to take our place here on planet Earth in that new Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the place where heaven and earth are connected and have become here on earth like it is in heaven.
I'm convinced that when we get there, mine's going to have a good back. My body's going to have a good
yes,
back.
Yes, it will. It will have a great back.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. You know, Bob Christopher has produced a growing number, or is producing a growing number of excellent teaching videos that are all available free on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Topics like how to be saved, how do I walk in the Spirit, and the latest entry, conformed or transformed. Visit any time for encouragement, clarification, truth about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. You'll find these excellent videos when you visit basicgospel.net/YouTube. Very simple. Same old website, basicgospel.net/YouTube. Well, we had this call that came in from Canadian listener Kat. Let's listen.
Hey, Bob. My question is, I've just been listening to How to Receive Jesus' Peace. And through every circumstance, and lately it's just been so difficult, and I've been praying to God for his peace in the midst of chaos. I've been praying for that. So I guess that's my question, because my soul is just not at peace, and I'm longing to just have that tranquility that Jesus wants me to have. And thank you, Bob and Bob, for your the way the Lord is working through you both.
Well, thanks for your question, Kat. It's great to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, and the answer to that really starts with, I think, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And Paul writes there, therefore, since we have been justified by faith. And so that's the key. We have to recognize that we have been justified by faith. When we hear the good news about Jesus, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, when we respond to that through faith, it says we're justified. Well, what does that mean? It means that we've been declared righteous. Mm-hmm. It means that all of our sins have been forgiven. It means that we've been cleansed once and for all. So we are righteous in the sight of God. And because we are righteous in the sight of God, it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's something about this that we need to recognize, that we are no longer enemies of God. Now, God has never been our enemy. He demonstrated that for us through Jesus' death on the cross. He demonstrated his love for us. So he's never been at odds with us. He took away the sin of the world. He dealt with the sin issue once and for all, so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could receive reconciliation. So if he's not our enemy, if that's not his disposition toward us, it means we had that disposition toward him. We were alienated. We Right. were enemies because of our evil behavior. But when we see the cross and we see what God did for us through Jesus on that cross, and we recognize that we have now been justified through faith, then we recognize that we're no longer at odds with God. Yeah. We're on the same page. We're in relationship. So we have peace one with another. Mm-hmm. Now, that starts to work its way deep into our souls and gives us this tranquil state of assurance of salvation. And that's what the peace of God is all about, knowing that you are saved.
Yeah.
And so when you know that you are saved, your soul is at peace regardless of the situations that you go through.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bob, for that. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have a Bible question, or if there's some struggle that you're going through in life, some troublesome issue, well, tell us about it at 844-322-2742. We'll discuss it here on Basic Gospel in the U.S. and Canada. That's 844-322-2742. And friends, please remember that your prayers and gifts keep Basic Gospel on the air and online. Please help today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make your October gift, we'll send you a copy of our newest resource by Bob Christopher. It's called Against the Current. Again, you can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And thanks to the many of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel with your prayers and your gifts every month. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.